We bring you greetings. We're thankful to the God of heaven that doeth all things well. We're thankful for the beautiful singing. I really enjoyed that beautiful song. That was a very beautiful song, brother. We're thankful also for the well-worded prayers, and we're thankful for this lectureship. Back to the Bible and the theme women of the Bible. We're thankful for all your what you've done. The food, it was great. Y'all have some great domestic engineers here, and we're just thankful for that good meal. We're thankful for your good preacher and his good wife, Jessica. Doug, he's like a son to me. We've went through some things together for a few years, like I said, a couple years in school, and we just appreciate him so very much for the good work that he's doing. I'm just glad he got him a good wife, a good spouse. You know what they always say? They said, behind every good man, they say, is a good woman. Jessica's a good woman. Well, I say like this. Behind every good man is a surprise mother-in-law, and maybe a father-in-law also. But we appreciate Doug and appreciate him for his work's sake. We appreciate also the hospitality with our brother and sister loaning out their house to us, and we appreciate them so very much. That only happens in the Church of Christ. That only happens in the Church of Christ, trust me. But we appreciate them so very much, especially, I mean, when they're not even there. We're the only ones there. We appreciate them, and we appreciate your hospitality. Appreciate the good lessons that we have heard, all of them. I listened at Johnny Hutchinson's lesson, the last lesson. It was excellent. All of them was excellent. But I guess his stood out maybe in my mind, maybe because it was the last lesson, but he did a superb job, and we appreciate him so very much. Women of the Bible, I have a New Testament character, Martha. The character Martha, also I meant to mention, you know, usually when a speaker, a preacher spoke in the first century, the speaker, the preacher, sat down, and the people stood up. Douglas is the 21st century now. Now the preacher stands up, and the people sat down. And after a meal, that's not good. And I'm right after lunch. And maybe everybody should stand up. But I'll tell you, like one of the instructors used to tell us, he says, if you sleep, you're not worshiping. So keep that in mind. And also, I don't know, I know some of your names. I don't know most of your names, but I do know, I know what you're wearing. So keep that in mind. The name Martha, it means lady or mistress. Martha was and is the sister of Mary and Lazarus. John chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Martha, she welcomed Jesus into her home. In Luke 10, verse number 38, Martha was rebuked by Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. We find Martha, one that her faith was affirmed. In John chapter 11, verses 21 through 32. And she is also found serving supper in the book of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. There's not a whole lot written on this New Testament character, but we want to glean some things from the character Martha. The writers Luke and John are the only writers that mention or talk about the character Martha. She's mentioned in 12 scriptures in your New Testament. Luke says in Luke chapter 10, verse number 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him in her house. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Luke chapter 10, verses 40. And in verse number 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." The Apostle John writes when it comes to Martha, John chapter 11, verse number 1. "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha." In verse number 15, in that same chapter, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Verse number 19 of that same chapter, "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." We know that Martha, as we mentioned, her brother was Lazarus, and he died. And Jesus raised him back to life. Verse number 20 of John 11. "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary still sat in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Drop down to verse 24 in that same chapter. "Martha said unto him, I know that he shall arise again in the resurrection at the last day." Verse number 30. "Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him." In verse number 39 of that same chapter, Jesus said, "Take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And in John chapter 12, verse number 2, "There they made a supper, and Martha served. But the book says, Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." Even though there is not much said about Martha, we can glean some things from her character and her example, and also from her sister Mary. It's almost pointless to talk about one without the other. Martha was distracted by good. Let us focus our attention Luke's account in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 beginning. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part," Jesus said, "which will not be taken away from her." Notice what Jesus said, that it would not be taken away from her. You know, sometimes we tell our children, go to school, go to college, get a good education. We tell them they can't take that away from you. Sometimes I've often wondered, why would they want to? Why would they want to take it away? You know, as Christians, we have many responsibilities. in this life that are proper. We are responsible as parents. We're responsible as spouses. Even as children. As employees. Also employers. We have a grave responsibility. Paul tells the young evangelist Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verse number 8, he says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own," Paul says, "and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." He's an infidel. Look at the people that we know that won't provide for their own. Will not work. You couldn't throw a job on some of them. Some of them wouldn't work. They wouldn't work in a pie factory tasting pies. They're just that lazy. So we have an obligation to our families. The family has a responsibility to each other. You know, the devil has attacked the family. He did that from the very beginning. In the first family, Adam and Eve, he's attacking, still using the same tricks that he used back then. So the family has a responsibility to each other. That's God's ideal for the family. Listen at Paul again in the book of Colossians chapter 3, 18 beginning. "Wives," he said, "submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord." You know, you have some wives, they don't want to submit to their own husband. They'll submit to someone else's husband. Or they'll submit to the man on the job before they will submit to their own husbands. Paul goes on to say, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them." You know, that's not an option. Sometimes I think that sometimes we miss it when it comes to that. You know, that's commanded. Husbands, love your wives. Well, brother, she's unlovable. Husbands, love your wives. That's not an option. That's a command. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged, Paul says. Yet sometimes what is good can get in the way of what is better. You know, sometimes we fail to properly prioritize our activities. We allow ourselves to be distracted by what is good, and then we miss out on what is better. You know, as we were about to leave the house on this morning, my wife was telling me, she says, "Fix the bed." Well, I know she didn't want to do it. So she said, "Fix the bed." Now, that was big. I did fix the bed. But the point is this. That would be a good thing to do. But to fix the bed and maybe be late or miss the lectureship, no. It would be better to be to the lectureship. But she said, "Fix the bed." So I said, "I'll fix the bed." So I fixed it. You know how women are. She said, "I don't want them to come back here and say, we didn't even fix the bed." So sometimes we miss out on what is better. This is what took place in the lives of Martha and her sister Mary. Remember, Jesus loved these sisters. Jesus loved everybody, all of us. For God so loved the world. God loved. He gave his son. Jesus loved. He gave his life. You know, sometimes we say we love, but we're not even willing to give up sin. But Jesus said this, Jesus said, if you love me, prove it. If you love me, he says, keep my commandment. Let's look at the example of Martha and Mary. Martha was distracted. You know, sometimes we become distracted. She had invited Jesus into her house. You know, that's a good thing. Her hospitality is certainly commendable. Wes Jefferson, your hospitality is commendable. That is a notable trait. Listen at the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 58, verse number 7, listen at what the record says. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Listen at the Hebrew writer. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 3. He said, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, and those who are mistreated, since yourselves are in the body also. Martha became distracted by much serving. In our text, Luke 10, verse number 40, God's son had come to her house, and that was an honor. She wanted her sister to help her. Martha began to be worried and be troubled by many things, verse number 41. But Jesus tells us the opposite. In John chapter 14, verse number 1, what did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. Paul says, be careful for nothing. But you know, sometimes we worry. He says, Jesus said, let not your mind be troubled. Now the things that Martha was caring about, they were not things that were wrong in of themselves. Not at all. But they took priority when they should not have. And sometimes that's what happens in our lives. These very things, they can cause anxiety of the mind. Distress of the spirit. That's what happens when you worry. Those saying, don't worry. Be happy. You don't hear too much of that anymore. Martha allowed that which is good to get in the way of that which is better. Now her sister Mary was a little bit more disciplined. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Luke 10, verse number 39. I listened to the brother a while ago in his prayer. He said, where we sit at the feet of these preachers, listening to God's word, God is speaking, we need to be listening. Mary was a disciple. A disciple is a learner. She wanted to learn from him. That's our purpose. That's why we're here at this lecture. We can learn something. She was more concerned about being a good disciple, that was Mary, than a good hostess. Is it good to be a good hostess? Yes. That's a good thing to do. But it's better to be a good disciple. Mary chose the one thing needed. Luke 10, verse number 42. In the end, there is one thing that is really necessary, and that would be seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. You know, this place should be full. Matthew 6, verse number 33. What does the record say? We're to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will take care of these other things. But we need to do our part. First things first. Let's let the Bible speak again. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 8. Listen at what the Apostle Paul told the young evangelist Timothy. He said, for bodily exercise profiteth a little. I saw my sister, a couple of them, they were out there getting some bodily exercise. I even joined them for a while. But Paul said, for bodily exercise it profiteth a little. I bet you them sisters say, well, I want to go ahead and get that little. But godliness, he says, is profitable for all things. That's where the rubber meets the road. Having promise of the life that is now is and of that which is to come. That's what's really important. Mary chose that which had eternal consequences. Luke chapter 10, verse number 42. She chose that good part. You chose the good part, which would not be taken away from her. If you remain faithful, it won't be taken away from you either. Jesus truly had blessings that would last. John chapter 4, verse number 14. Listen what he says to the woman at the well. He said, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Can you imagine that? But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into him everlasting life. That's what we want. In John chapter 5, verse number 24, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, Jesus said, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. That's what Jesus said. He also says in John chapter 10, verses 27 beginning, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Are we a sheep? Are we a goat? A goat's head is hard. At least that's what they tell me. I don't want to test it out. And Jesus said, I know them, and they follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Even Martha was aware of that. John chapter 11, verses 21 through 27. Mary had the discipline to seek first things first, putting the better before the good. Oh, if we could learn that lesson. If Christians all over this land could learn that lesson. But you know something? From Mary and Martha, from this dynamic duo, what can we learn? Are we sometimes distracted by the things that may be good within themselves? Are we distracted by duties as husbands and wives? Yes, a husband's supposed to love and take care of his wife. A wife's supposed to take care of her husband. But sometimes we can be distracted, but we're still to put God first in our lives. Fathers and mothers, are we sometimes distracted? What about our responsibilities at work and in the community? Do we find ourselves sometimes being distracted? You know, Jesus warned against such things to take precedence in our lives. You know, we cannot allow family to come before our service to the Lord. Can't do that. Oh, family and friends are coming in the weekend. Oh, there's a lectureship going on. They may be staying at your house. Y'all come on in. We have an lectureship. You are invited. No, I don't believe we'll go. We'll see you when we get back. But some will say, well, okay, I'll just stay with my family. We can't allow family to come before the service of the Lord. We can't let anyone come between us and our Lord. Matthew 10, verse number 37. Listen at what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse number 46. You know, sometimes people can't take what Jesus said. You know, sometimes Christians can't take what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 12, 46 beginning, while he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak to him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and my brothers? For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." That's what Jesus said. Most people can't take that. They would gag on that. Family and work cannot come before the kingdom of God. Luke 14, verse 16 through 24. The cares of this world can render us unfruitful. Luke 8, verse number 14. The cares of this world can leave us unprepared. Luke 21, verse number 34. You know, sometimes we can find ourselves distracted by things that are good. And we can find ourselves like Martha, worried, troubled, stressed out. You remember Esau sold his birthright. He sold out for a morsel. You know, there's a lot of people today selling out. But Esau sold out for a morsel. Can you imagine that? Hebrews 12, verse number 16. Are we distracted by the good? What about this? Are we disciplined? Do we seek that which is better? What about that which is really needed? Think about that. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's why I admire young people like Douglas, wanted to be a gospel preacher. His wife, young Christians. At that age, I was just as lost as a jaybird. But they want to give their life wholly to the Lord at a young age. But then what did the book say? Remember thou creator in the days of your youth. That's what we need to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then these other things, they'll fall in place. Eternal life and the blessings which accompany it. Jesus taught of the value of choosing the good part. He taught about God's providential cares in our life. Do we trust God for that? Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. He promised to take care of our needs. Food, clothing, shelter. That's what we need. But sometimes we want so much. Jesus taught ample surplus to replace our sacrifice for the gospel. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. He also taught peace and joy, which the world cannot give. We won't get those things from the world. But Jesus taught those things in John chapter 14, verse number 27. Also in John chapter 15, verse number 11. And also John chapter 16, verse number 33. But listen at Paul. You know, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Philippians chapter 4. Listen at what Paul said in verses 6 beginning. He said, "Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing," he says. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." That's what Paul said. He said, "Let your request be made to God. And the peace of God." I love this. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," he says, "will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Can we comprehend that? If, you know, that's a big little word. If we are disciplined. If we discipline ourselves to make those proper choices in our lives. If we do, we will find ourselves like Mary, free of anxiety, praised by our Lord. We can find ourselves like Job. You remember the Old Testament character Job? Experiencing the end intent by the Lord. You know, Paul said we can learn from the Old Testament. Things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. That through patient and comfort of the scripture that we might have hope. We can learn from that Old Testament. But sometimes I wonder, do we learn? You remember Job? Lost everything he had. Someone might say, well, he still had his wife. Yes, he had his wife. She said, Job, curse God and die. Job said, you sound like a foolish woman. My wife told me that today, I stand with Job. You sound like a foolish woman. Look what God has done. God has been good to all of us. Are we disciplined to choose that which is better? Oh, Martha. She had an opportunity to serve the Lord again. You know, I'm glad God gives second chances. Aren't you? I'm glad of that second law of pardon. God gives second chances. Martha had an opportunity to serve the Lord again. This time on a joyous occasion. After the raising of her brother from the dead. John chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. You know, that's a joyous occasion within itself. Here she serves with no distraction. No distraction at all. She's free from worry. And now receives no rebuke from the Lord. Not at all. We can experience the same thing if we learn from Martha and Mary, her sister. If we put first things first, seek God's will and work in our lives, when we put him first, he won't be second. We need to learn that God will not be second. That's why we might as well go ahead and put him first, because he won't be second. He will not be second. If we do those things, we'll become better hosts. No doubt about it. We'll be better spouses. We'll be better parents. Better workers, no doubt about it. We'd be better than if we tried to do it on our own. You know, sometimes that's the problem. We try to do things on our own without God's help. You know, we can't do nothing without God. We breathe his air. We just ate his food. Everything belongs to him. The earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof. I remember when my kids were in the house, I would tell them, even though I know everything belongs to God, I said, everything in this house, it belongs to me. You belong to me. Your toys, they belong to me. You call it your room. No, that's my room. You go by my rules. We have to go by God's rules. We don't have anything, even the very air we breathe. God cuts us off, we dead. Graveyard dead. It belongs to him. That's why we need to put him first. Seek him first in our lives. Because as I mentioned, he won't be second. Let us seek first the will of God. And everything will fall into place. Yes, it will. But if we become distracted by even that which is good, anxiety and problems, that'll be our lot in life. Are we willing to learn from the Bible character, Martha? She was distracted at first, but she got it right. You know, sometimes we get distracted. You know, sometimes I use the example of the highway, the freeway. We all drive on them. You ever seen some people, they love to what I call live on the edge. They either, and when you're up in these mountains, you better not be living too much on the edge. But anyway, either they want to go so close to the inside, so close, or they want to go to the extreme and they want to be so close to the outside, the edge. What's wrong with the middle lane or the middle road of truth? Just stay down the middle road of truth instead of trying to live on the edge. One of our brothers, he mentions, sometimes people, they want to get so close to sin. I'm not quite touching it, but I'm so close. The Bible tells us we're to stay away from the very appearance of evil. Let us learn from Martha, a New Testament character. We thank you.